Logos or trademarks are pretty important in the corporate world. And corporations spend a lot of money to come up with a really good logo to represent their company so that you've got that instant name recognition. And so it's really, again, a logo is a visible representation of either an individual or more often a corporation. I want you to think about this. Colossians 1 verse 15 says this about Jesus, a tremendously profound statement. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. We could say Jesus is the trademark or the logo of the God who cannot be seen. How very important that Jesus reveals to us the Father that we could not see in any other way. I think it's good to focus on thoughts such as that this season of year, because we are in what is probably the most misguided celebration season of all. I know, I sound a bit like a cynic, I am. At this time of year, people are spending money that they don't have to buy gifts for people that don't need them. That's kind of my summary of the holiday, largely. And so there's a lot of activity and festivity and things that are going on, and a lot of celebration, but as you and I know very well, again, not to sound a whole lot like Ebenezer Scrooge, but it's not about Jesus as it's supposed to be. And so our great task is to try to redirect this whole thing, and it's a pretty daunting task. I a lot of times feel like we're the John the Baptist, the lonely voice out in the wilderness, saying, hey, it's about Jesus. It's not about all that money, all those presents, all those parties, all those things. It's about getting back to understanding Jesus. And so it really is, as we know, about the birth of Jesus. And for us, the value of this season is that we might get a more visible picture of the invisible God that Jesus represents. I think that's one of the great goals of this time of year, is if we can learn from this verse we just looked at, that Jesus, who has come to be the trademark or the logo of the invisible God, to make God visible to us, if we focus this thing right, we'll see God like we've never seen him before, because we see him through Jesus. So I hope that is the case. I hope that we can also do that for those around us that don't have a clue what they're really celebrating. I hope that we also, as Christ is formed in us, as Christ is real to us, that we also can make God visible to them like they've never seen him before. So again, it's a daunting task, but I think it's a very important one that is set before us. And so with that in mind, in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And I've entitled this study, Pieces That Complete the Picture of Christ. Because that's what that little passage does. The Apostle Paul wrote to a church that had a little bit of trouble believing that Jesus was the only way to God. And he's really trying to set it straight that Jesus is it. There's no other way to know God. There's no other way to come to God except through Jesus Christ. And again, I think that's something very valuable for us this time of year. If we can help the world to take those little pieces of Christ and put together a picture like putting a puzzle together, if they can really see this Jesus, who in particular makes the invisible God visible, we've done a great service to a world that desperately needs to know what this thing is all about. Again, the purpose and the mission of Jesus was to put a visible face upon the invisible Creator God. So let's really hold on to that thought out of Colossians 1:15. That's really what he's about, is to give a visible face to the God who is invisible. Again, to be his trademark or to be his logo. I've got a number of passages. I know I don't like to do this a lot, but it seems like I've done it more often than not. But hang on, we're going to jump through some real important passages this morning to really help us piece together this picture that we need to have. First of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, it tells us about God that says, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Why is it important to know Jesus Christ? Why is it important that Christ has come into the world? Because we're told about God, there is absolutely no way to see Him or to approach Him. That passage makes that very clear. God alone possesses immortality. There's one reason we absolutely have got to know God. Because if He alone possesses immortality and there's the slightest desire for immortality in our lives, the only way we're going to get it is from Him. And so God, who alone possesses immortality, but He dwells in unapproachable light. There's the dilemma. You can't come before God because the purity and the brightness of that light would literally kill us. There is no way to come before God because He dwells in unapproachable light, and so no man has seen Him or can see Him. So the hope for immortality resides alone with God, and we can't get to Him. What a dilemma, according to that verse. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. We begin to get an idea of the solution, the wonderful, brilliant solution of God, so that we can come to Him for immortality and approach the unapproachable God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, notice, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, and the exact, notice this phrase, and the exact representation of His nature, the image of God, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. That is such a thrilling passage, because it reveals to us the plan of God, that God has attempted, the one who dwells in unapproachable light, the one who alone possesses immortality, has sought to reach us all through the ages. And so God spoke long ago to the fathers, to the prophets. God has verbally been trying to communicate, trying to work with us throughout the ages. And so God, it says, in many portions, in many ways, has sought to express Himself and communicate Himself. But now, in these last days, He has fully spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ, the one He's appointed heir of all things. He's given it all to Him. And through also whom He made the world, the centerpiece of it all, with Jesus in mind, God made everything and God has given everything to Him. And it talks about Jesus seeing the radiance of the glory of God, the one who alone is able to approach the unapproachable one. And so Jesus, who has offered Himself and has now sat down at the right hand of God, and all these things that are so important to us, that because of all of that, we can approach the unapproachable. We can receive the immortality that He alone possesses. Jesus says, or it is said concerning Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of God, who is in the bosom of the Father," or at the Father's side more accurately, "He has explained Him." God is truly made real and visible through Jesus Christ, according to that passage. He has explained the Father to us. We have no way of approaching God, no way of understanding God, but Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, at the presence of God, He has literally explained Him, made Him fully known to us, the one who could not be known in any other way. Turn to John chapter 14. Again, I warned you, we're going to go through a few passages here, but again, pieces of the puzzle that are so important. John 14, beginning in verse 8 to verse 11. Near the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus, His disciples have been with Him three and a half years. You would think they would really understand things pretty well in the amount of time they've spent with Him. But as we come to verse 8, the disciple Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own initiative, But the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. I wonder how many times Jesus must have been so frustrated with the disciples. Any of us might have said, you know, guys, let's just forget it. If you haven't figured it out now, if you haven't learned by now, let's just forget it. You've been too slow of learning. Of course, Jesus was not that way at all. On this occasion here, when Philip says, just show us the Father and that'll be enough. You know, I guess you think if you're Jesus, you're going to say, what do you think I've been trying to do the last 3.5 years? I've been trying to show you the Father. And here Philip is saying, if you just do this one thing, he said, that's all I've been about. But Jesus is saying, don't you believe that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father? Don't you get it? I'm the image of the invisible God. I'm the face of the God you cannot see. Don't you know I am his unique son? And that's what I'm about, is to express God in all the many ways I can, to express God to you. Don't you believe that God is in me and I'm in him? We have this dynamic relationship that only a father and son could have. He said, even if you don't believe that, at least believe the works. Nobody could do what I've been doing except the Father be in me. Those are not human works that I've been doing in your midst. And so believe again. God is active in my life. We have a unique relationship, and I'm all about revealing him to you. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say we're one and the same. But he said again, I'm the visible face of the Father that cannot be seen in any other way. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. That's a great passage to describe to us the relationship that Jesus has with his Father. He's the ultimate copycat, isn't he? He says, I can't do anything on my own. I have no power and authority of my own. But you see, I am his son, and I am so uniquely aligned with him that I've got sight of him. I can see him myself, the one that you cannot see. I see him, and everything I see him doing, everything I hear him saying, I'm reflecting that back, and I'm presenting that to you. And I think that is a wonderful passage because that is what we have in Jesus. We have him who is copying the Father perfectly, the perfect photocopier, if you will. Copying everything from God, his actions, his words, his gestures, everything about him, I am conveying that to you. So therefore, again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father because I'm standing there mimicking him for you to make him visible. And so again, the work of Jesus is truly in every way to reveal the Father to us so that we might understand him. And I think that reflects down to us, our role as those who know Christ, who is revealing the Father to us, is also to reflect that to the rest of the world. That the world will see the invisible God through us as we've seen him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, a very important mission and ministry for us at this time of year. We got to have that because we can't do it on our own. There's no way in the world we can show to the world the Father except that it's done through Jesus Christ. You know, God's original purpose for us was that we would reflect his image. I go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27, a familiar passage where God created man in his own image. Linger for a moment on that word image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God created us in his own image. We were to bear and do bear the mark of God. In the image of God, it says, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So right from the very beginning, we were the image bearers, if you will. We were the visible face of the invisible God in perfect creation at the start. Verse 31 of Genesis 1, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. From the beginning, man in a brief amount of time reflected the image of the invisible God as God had designed. Of course, God knew what was going to happen. He knew that that would not last. He knew the image would fade because of the terrible thing of sin. And so we lost the ability to be the image bearer of God because of sin. And none of us get it right today. We sin, just like Adam and Eve. And so we can't fully represent that. But again, we have it in Christ. It is restored in us through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I like that because it tells us the reflection is restored. The image is restored. We lost it through sin, but through Christ and what God would choose to do through Christ, the image is restored. Light will shine out of darkness. And God has shone in our hearts, and He's given us that light, the knowledge of the glory of God that is seen, notice, in the face of Christ. There we have it again, the image of the invisible God, the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." There's the word image again. "From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." The image. I come back to that word image. We are being restored in such a way that we bear the image of the invisible God through Christ. We get the face of God in our being. And that is so powerful because the world is able to see the invisible God through us as all of that happens to us. This may seem basic to all of you, but this is kind of a new discovery for me as I'm thinking about all these verses and this thing about image. This is so powerful because we have a wonderful opportunity to reveal God through Jesus Christ to the world that isn't seeing Him. They may not care to hear our words, but they sure will sit up and pay attention when they see the image of God in our lives. When they see Him as Christ is in us, revealing the invisible God, seeing God through us, through Christ, that is a tremendously powerful witness. So, image. We've talked about image quite a bit. Image, from the original language, literally means icon, as we use that today. Icon can be a photograph. And so we have the photograph of God in Christ, or the inscription, like on a coin. That might be another image that helps us. You see George Washington on our currency. That's not him, but that is a very good likeness, an accurate representation of him. And all that imagery fits the image that we have in Christ, the one who has given, again, a face to the invisible God, the one who is literally the portrait, the photograph of the God who cannot be seen in any other way. And as a result, we become the image of the image, the photograph of the photograph to the rest of the world. Let me share this thought with you from a writer. "We have no portrait of God our Father, but He has left us a portrait in His Son, who is the exact imprint of His nature, so that we Christians might, through His indwelling power, model our lives after Him and becoming increasingly conformed to His image. May this be our fervent aspiration, to be like Jesus." And maybe to be like Jesus in a way that we hadn't thought about before. We think about becoming like Christ and imitating Christ, and we think about maybe doing the things that Christ did and so forth. But now to be the image bearer, I hope that thought can really be instilled in our minds today, to be the visible face again of the invisible God through Christ. There is a hymn. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know how it goes. I will not try to sing it to you. But the lyrics are so powerful along these lines, and you may know it immediately as I share these with you. But this hymn says, from the writer's standpoint, "I have one deep, supreme desire, that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire, that I may be like Jesus. I want my heart His throne to be, so that a watching world may see His likeness shining in me. I want to be like Jesus." As I saw those words, I thought that fits so well what we're trying to convey out of Colossians 1:15. I want the world to see the image of Christ and also the image of God in me. I want to be like Christ so that I can reflect the invisible God to the world. Again, may that thought go with us. And we might want to stop for a moment and consider how well are we reflecting the image of Christ and ultimately the image of God. Not that we want that question to put any of us on a guilt trip, because I'm sure all of us have got areas where we can grow and improve. But by and large, I think there's confidence that we can have in saying we are doing that. Let's sharpen the focus even more and allow the image of God through Christ to form within us so that the world will see Christ in us. Again, what a wonderful opportunity. The world may probably not be any more in tune with this opportunity than right now, when they're hearing songs talking about great truths that they will not listen to any other time of year, when their hearts may be stirred up a bit more, that during this time may the image of God through Christ, through us, shine and form in them. Amen.